This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on The Fan. Also, who's Green Bay going to take on Thursday night? We'll have you covered with the Green Bay Football Draft Show, presented by the Steam Fitters Local 601, starting Thursday night at 6 with Charlie Usen and Tommy Wirtz on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan, and of course on the free Odyssey app. Now we get to be joined by, I think, maybe the person we've had more than anyone on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show so far. At least he's definitely in the conversation. That is Jacob Westendorf, Pack-A-Day Podcast, Packers on SI. You can find him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing?
It is good to be back, and I think I'm in the conversation as well for, I think, Andrew Mertig is the only one ahead of me on actual Pack-A-Day episodes as well. So excited to be here. A very happy draft this week to everybody except for Nico Harrison.
I think you are probably correct on that as well. I'm going to pull that up while we're on the call here today because I want to double check that. But I think you were totally correct. Before we get into anything, who's in a worse situation right now? Your Dallas Mavericks or my Milwaukee Bucks? Both of them are not in. I think you're probably worse with your entire situation with Luka. But this is not ideal for either of our NBA franchises.
No, it's not. But one team still has Giannis, who is at worst the top three player in the sport. So I know ESPN's going to fire up their trade machine stuff after Milwaukee gets 5 or 6 games here. But it's not good there. But they still have him. So as long as you have him, you got a shot. Dallas traded that player. So for reasons, I'm still not sure what they are.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. 319 Pack-A-Day episodes going into April, by the way, for Jacob Westendorf. So you've passed the 300 mark. You are in the top 5 on the list. And it's been incredible, my friend. You've been an unbelievable part of the team, and I cannot thank you enough for everything that you've done. It is always great hearing you talk about the Green Bay Packers. So let's do that right now. I want to start, obviously, with this draft coming up. What are your emotions just kind of going into the 2025 draft? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you just, looking forward to seeing who the Packers take and unwrapping these presents? Like, we're a little over a day away. How are you feeling about this draft in its totality?
Yeah, I said on Tuesday's episode with Owen Reese and Jacob Morley that it is a labor of love, but the word that comes into that is labor. I think that I'm just kind of tired of talking. I did my last mock draft for Bill Huber yesterday. I think that comes out today or tomorrow. And, at the point by the end of it, I'm just like, I'm tired of talking about who it could be. I'm ready to talk about who it is. By this time last year, I felt the same way. And it was like, okay, what is Jordan Morgan going to do for this team? What is Edgerrin Cooper going to do for this team? Who are some late round guys? Who are some other things? And then, I do get a little bit of a recharge for that day 2 mock draft that you can do after the first draft, because it's kind of like, okay, now we know who's gone. Now we know what they did. They took a defensive lineman, so now we're looking at pass catcher and cornerback or, whatever it is. But I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to see a place that is as important to me as it is become the center of, for one, I believe that Green Bay is always the center of the football universe, but it will very much be the center of the football universe by the time Thursday night rolls around.
It's been really fun just to see all the different NFL personalities flying into Green Bay, seeing their pictures of landing in Green Bay, to see Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport reporting live from Lambeau Field already early this week. Like, it's just been really cool to see, like you said, the Green Bay be the center of the NFL universe and having everyone flock to Green Bay. So excited about this entire draft and how it's going to go down, and just, having it be celebrated the way that it should be celebrated, I think, is one of the really cool aspects of this. Of course, we were talking about in our last segment, we went through some of the mock drafts that came out this morning. You're getting some of these, late round mock drafts. As you mentioned, yours is coming out today as well. In one, the Athletic beat writer mock draft, Matt Schneidman took Kenneth Grant, a defensive tackle out of Michigan. In Peter Schrager's mock draft, they didn't take him, but Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, was still on the board. There are some Michigan prospects here that could very well be in play for Green Bay. Jacob, I know your love is obviously with the Packers. You're a Mavs fan, but I know you're a big Michigan fan as well. So tell me about Kenneth Grant, Will Johnson, and anyone else we might need to know about from a Michigan standpoint.
Yeah, those guys, you know, I know we've talked about, I think Kenneth Grant's been talked about a lot through this process for Green Bay just because he can play one tech. I think he can play three tech as well. He's not just a run plugger, but for his rookie season, if you're looking for an immediate impact, I think he's a potential plug and play replacement for TJ Slayton, but with more pass rush upside than what Slayton had. You know, for Slayton became a better pass rusher than I think what all of us anticipated when he was drafted in the fifth round 4 years ago. But he still was never a plus player on that side of things. If you knew, if the offensive coordinator told you before the play, we're throwing the ball, Slayton would be glued to the bench. Like, that's just kind of how that would work. But he was fine with everything like that. Grant has more upside with that, and that makes him a potential star. He's 340 pounds. I don't believe the 330 stuff. There's no way. But he's athletic. I think the play that was reemerging yesterday, and I remember watching it as it happened, was against Penn State a couple years ago. One of their running backs is in the open field. Those are two guys that are probably going to get drafted when it comes their time to do so. And Grant chases him down in the open field. So that just kind of gives you a glimpse of the type of athlete that he is. I would be very surprised if someone that big and that athletic is available at 23, but it's certainly possible. I mean, these guys are more plugged in than I am from that front. Will Johnson, this is the one that it's got to be stuff that just we're not privy to, right? The speed questions, I understand them to some degree, but not fully. You would make it sound like a guy runs a 4.8 with the way some people are talking about. He's in Green Bay's defense specifically, eyes on the quarterback, picking off passes. I think that this is a perfect seamless fit for him in Green Bay to keep his eyes on the quarterback. He had four games last year. He had two pick sixes in those four games, and it was, yeah, just kind of that classic bait the quarterbacks, and I jump, see the ball, jump the ball, and into the end zone it goes. You know, with the other guys, as far as some, I mean, Josiah Stewart's a mid-round guy that maybe they would be interested in, but he's really small compared to what they've typically liked with their edge rushers. Maybe a late-round guy could be Donovan Edwards if they wanted to do a running back that was also a better pass catcher maybe than runner. But, yeah, really, I think that the guys from Michigan that you've mentioned that could be Packers are the two guys that we're talking about right now, and it would have to be on day one.
Yeah, I think so too, and they both could easily be there. They could make sense for Green Bay if they do end up being there at pick 23. So, Jacob, maybe even better for you. Maybe you get a Michigan player coming to Green Bay at pick 23 in this draft. You're listening to Jacob Westendorf. Of course, you can find him on the Packaday podcast, Packers on SI, and follow him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. What I thought would be kind of fun here, Jacob, is to try to narrow this down a little bit. I put together my big board. I'm going to release that a little bit later today, and I did it for the podcast. We're also going to talk about it in the next segment a little bit more, but I wanted to try to narrow down some of the options. So let's start at wide receiver. If I told you that Green Bay took a wide receiver in round one, who in your mind would that wide receiver be?
Tet McMillan. Although I just read some of the stuff from Todd McShay before it came out, so I'm wondering if Gutekunst's perceived interest in him is more so trying to get to know him than it was trying to draft him, which those are two different things. Matthew,
what was the info from McShay out of curiosity?
Okay. Yeah, so it was that McMillan basically like loafs on routes. He only practices hard when scouts are in attendance. Quits on balls over the middle of the field. Didn't show attention to detail. That's a McShay quote on Tet McMillan. It was tweeted by Peter Bukowski. So it says, I don't trust him. Tet didn't like to work out or practice hard unless a scout was in attendance, showed up on the routes, quitting on balls over the middle, didn't think he showed attention to details. So
okay.
I know Green Bay's done a lot of homework on guys with questions on stuff. Like, for example, there were character questions on, like, Rashee Rice, for example, a couple years ago. Green Bay had him in for a 30. They had showed interest in him. Isaiah Bond this year, a little different because that's a legal situation. But they do their homework on players like that. And with a multi-million-dollar investment, it makes sense. So I still think they would be interested just from a prospect standpoint if they feel comfortable with the person and the football character of things. So a size-speed combination of him. Emeka Ibuka, I think, of receivers early is the cleanest fit. And I asked last week for somebody, and I know Peter Schrager mocked him there. for somebody to give me the first round wide receiver case for Matthew Golden, and I have yet to get one other than he ran fast at the combine. So I don't personally understand that, but it sounds like Green Bay might be interested in something like that. But I think those three are the receivers that they would grab if they were to grab one early.
Yeah, so Matthew Golden, the pick from Peter Schrager in his mock draft this morning for Green Bay. I'm with you. I think there's three players. I have Travis Hunter theoretically on the big board. We know he's going to be gone. The talk yesterday was that Tet's going to go in the top 12. We'll see if that ends up being the case. Crazier things have happened. Golden is maybe now a little bit more, you know, theoretically in play. It seemed like Dallas has been the team that's been kind of targeting Golden all along, but if he gets past Dallas, then that I think it's a little bit more interesting. And then I think Igbuka is the one that's most likely to be there at 23. But I think there's at best three wide receivers that are in that conversation. And if Tet's gone, it might be limited to two in just Matthew Golden and Igbeka Igbuka. Let's go to defensive end. All right. So some defensive ends, obviously, that are talked about here. Abdul Carter, Mike, which is going to be gone. Michael Williams, Jalen Walker, who's going to be gone, Shamar Stewart, Landon Jackson, Donovan Ezeraku, James Pierce. Those are kind of the guys that have been mentioned. Who do you think would legitimately be in play for Green Bay at 23? Again, considering who might be there and who they might have interest in.
Yeah, Shamar Stewart is there. I've always felt like that's a good one to run the card up, and I'm not alone in that. That's kind of a cliche at this point. But, I mean, a guy who is an athletic marvel like that, and the Packers have shown a willingness to take players who maybe aren't fully developed and believe in their development schemes and their staff to get those guys to where they're going to be. If he's available at pick 23, someone who's that big and that fast and that strong and that disruptive, and I know the production wasn't necessarily there, but I still have a hard time believing he's going to fall all the way to 23. I think somebody in the top 22 is going to say, look at all these traits. We can certainly do something with that. Pick him. But if not, you know, I think Green Bay would certainly be, they have a need at defensive end. He fits there. I think that's one of the guys that they do that. If they don't do that, they had James Pearson on a 30 visit. I think that was more intel gathering than anything else. There's some football character questions that have emerged about him. And he's also a little smaller than what they typically like. Gutekunst kind of talked about that. I think it was at the combine, talking about guys that can kind of scream off the edge like that. But when somebody gets injured, you get small very fast, and can they hold up? And Pierce, I was surprised when I read this in Brugler's mock or draft guide, which is one of the best, said like he only averaged 36 snaps a game over the last two seasons. Green Bay does like to rotate their guys, but you know, they get an injury or two, now you're asking players to play 50, 60 snaps a game. Can he do that? I don't know. Donovan Ezeraku obviously has the connection with Jeff Hafley there. I don't know if Green Bay would do that just because they're smaller on that. I really think that you mentioned Landon Jackson. That's a guy who hasn't been talked about a whole lot as a first-round fit in Green Bay, but I think those Stewart and Jackson are the two most likely defensive ends that Green Bay could take, and that's assuming Michael Williams isn't going to be available because I do think they would grab him very quickly too.
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone. I do think, yeah, I've said all along, I think if Michael Williams is there at 23, I think they would sprint that up to the podium. But yeah, Shamar Stewart kind of feels like the guy if they take an end, although maybe a Landon Jackson, maybe they would have to move down for Landon Jackson, but it does feel like maybe potentially he would maybe be kind of their type as well. I want one other one here. We're talking with Jacob Westendorf. You can find him on the Packaday podcast, Packers on SI, and of course at Jacob Westendorf on social media. I want to talk about corner as well. There are some of these mocks now that Jahdae Barron is there. There's some of these mocks that Will Johnson is there. And then you get into this kind of next second level of corners, you know, with Trey Amos, Maxwell Hairston, Benjamin Morrison, Savone Revel, Ezra Thomas. Who, like, if you're just thinking 23, let's say that they can't move back. They're just at 23. Which of these corners do you think legitimately, you know, Green Bay would consider at 23?
Yeah, so I'm having a hard time getting on board with the later smoke of Maxwell Hairston just because he played at 183 pounds a year. I know he's gained weight, but is he as fast as he was at 194, as he is at 183? I don't know. I've got a hard time thinking of that. I think Jahdae Barron's arms are really short. I think they'll think he's a slot safety nickel type of player. They just haven't shown a propensity to value that position, and they just gave Nate Hobbs a lot of money. I still think he's going to end up playing a lot of snaps in the slot as the team plays in a lot of nickel coverage anyway. So I can't picture Barron being some of that. Maybe that's certainly a possibility. Trey Amos is somebody who kind of fits their profile, but he's a little bit older. Will Johnson, we've talked about, I think they would pick him in that spot as well. Honestly, Andy, I know cornerback is like the position that, other than receiver, as the draft process has gone on. But at the end of the season, everybody's like, oh my God, they need like two or three corners. If you're Ross Uglum, they said they needed like five corners or something like that. But I think Green Bay has shown over the last 24 months that they like Keyshawn Nixon. They like Carrington Valentine. They obviously signed Nate Hobbs to a contract. I think they like the three guys they have, and the only corners that they've really brought in for visits, Huber reported they brought in Revel. I think that's the only one off the top of my head that's like an earlier potential prospect that we're aware of that they brought in. I think they will take a guy if the value punches them in the face, but if not, I think they're content to wait for day three and just, quote, throw numbers at it, like Gutekunst said.
Yeah, the second tier of corners is maybe the most interesting. They did bring in Trey Amos as well. Revel and then Amos was the other corner that they brought in. But yeah, that to me is like the Amos, Maxwell Harrison, Benjamin Morrison, Revel, Ezra Thomas group is far more interesting to me of like, would any of those guys sneak up into pick 23? And if all of a sudden Hunter's gone and Jahdae Barron's either gone or they view him just as a slot safety kind of guy, it might be almost like Will Johnson or bust at corner is sort of the interesting aspect here. But this is, again, the beauty of the NFL draft and kind of figuring out how this all plays out. All right, before we get you out of here, Jacob, a couple quick ones. Right, who's your dream pick at 20, dream realistic pick at 23?
I'm crushed from our Stewart. Yeah. I think, like I said, that athleticism and everything like that, I know everybody's going to tell me he only had 1.5 sacks or whatever. That's fine. Odafe Owe had 0 sacks in his final year at Penn State, and he had 10 a year ago. So the Packers have pretty much told you without telling you that they think last year's defensive line coach was the biggest reason for their problems. So if they believe that much in this guy, give him this moldable ball of clay and let's see what happens. And then, you know, if he hits, the potential of having a pretty good player like Rashawn Gary, and if he can get Lucas Van Ness to take a leap along with Shamar Stewart, now you're talking about three absolute freakazoid athletes rushing the passer. Yeah, I would be very happy with Shamar Stewart at that spot.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's a super talented player. I get the production concerns. I really, really do. I can't turn on the tape and not be like, oh my God, this guy's awesome. He's just that good. He's really, really fun. Last but not least, your official prediction for the Packers at pick 23. We've had so many different players that have been discussed here as we've gone through these with all of our guests, but who is your official prediction at pick 23 for Green Bay?
Yeah, I mentioned value smacking them in the face, and you said it might be this guy or bust. I think it's Will Johnson. I think that, like I said, I think Stewart eventually is gone. I think the defensive ends that fit their type are going to be gone of guys that they could pick early. You know, maybe if they want to slide back or something like that for someone like Landon Jackson or JT Tuimoloau, they could do something like that. But I don't think the receivers are going to present to that point. It seems like whenever Green Bay is rumored to be in on the receiver market early, they get picked over before Green Bay gets to an opportunity anyway. So those guys might be gone. I think Will Johnson sits there, and I think it's one of those. This is a high pedigree player. He's a former 5-star recruit, and he's a really good boundary corner in a system similar to Jeff Hafley. So I think that is going to be the guy at 23.
11 different predictions from our guests here on the Packaday Radio Show. 10 different players in those 11 predictions. Will Johnson is a new one. The only player that has been doubled up has been Shamar Stewart by Joey V, also of Packers on SI from time to time, and Lily Zhao both took Shamar Stewart, a different player every other time. That just, again, goes to show you how wild this draft could be and how the different opinions are of who Green Bay could take at 23. I think there's a really good chance it could be Will Johnson, Jacob, and that might just end up being the correct pick. So we'll see if you get it right, and we'll get you a cookie if you get it right. So we'll send you that your way if Will Johnson ends up being the pick. Jacob, I cannot thank you enough. What do you got coming out on Packers on SI or anything else you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, so it's draft week, so I'm excited. Like, one of my favorite things about it is learning the stories of the players that they do pick and what their background. Like, the background on Jordan Love was absolutely phenomenal when they picked him. The story Tyler Dunn wrote on him was one of the best ones I've ever read. Coupled with Tom Silverstein this week, like 5 years later, that look back was cool. But looking forward to learning that. That'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'll be around for that stuff. And then today or tomorrow, we'll have my mock draft, which I just gave you guys my pick for the Packers in it, but see how the rest of it shook out. And then also, I did some, quote, perfect mocks. So basically what I did was I took the three positions that everybody has as their perceived biggest needs, defensive end or pass rusher, wide receiver and corner, and then I picked each one of those in the first round and then built a draft from there. So what's perfect if they take a receiver first, a corner first, and a lineman first, and then kind of run from there.
Love that. Super smart idea. Looking forward to that as well. Make sure to follow him over on social media at Jacob Westendorf. Jacob, I cannot thank you enough. Enjoy the draft tomorrow. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon.
Yes, sir. I'll see you then. Thank you.
All right. Sounds perfect. Thanks, Jacob. Again, follow him on social media at Jacob Westendorf. This is the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll be right back to wrap things up right after this.